Welcome to room 4216. I'm so glad you've come.
Hi, Pastor Dave.
Hi, Cecilia. How are you doing today?
Oh, my back has been giving me trouble.
Yeah, you've been talking about that. Have you been going to physical therapy?
I have been, yes.
And has it been helping?
It has. I have a great physical therapist.
Yeah?
And they always have a radio station on, and that helps, too.
Yeah, music in the background can keep you pumping and going.
Mm-hmm. And the other day, I heard a song on the radio that I've heard many times, but I really listened to the second verse.
Oh.
And it kind of got my attention.
Okay.
We'll listen to the chorus and the second verse.
You shall not commit adultery.
And as we have done with the other commandments, we look at what does this mean?
We should fear and love God so that we lead a sexually pure and decent life in what we say and do, and husband and wife love and honor each other.
I see why that song kind of pricked your thoughts and why you played it, because that song was more about a one-night stand have sexual activity just for one's pleasure. Well, we'll talk about that and so many more things in today's episode. The topic of sex. Oh, whenever I go in to teach junior confirmation, the 7th and 8th graders, it's always the topic I have to do with this commandment, don't commit adultery, and they get nervous and squirmish, and their parents sometimes get nervous and squirmish. But, you know, really, there are several things we have to separate here before we can truly understand what it's meaning and what it's trying to share with us. And I know some of you are married, some of you are single, and you're wondering, what does this have to do to me? Well, let's start at the first foundational thing about it. Did you know that little rhyme, Johnny and Susie sitting in a tree?
K-I-S-S-I-N-G.
First comes love.
Then comes marriage.
Then comes
Susie with the baby carriage.
I always learned Johnny pushing the baby carriage.
Oh.
I guess it depends if you're the man or the woman.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. There's, and this song actually, or this rhyme, kind of covers it. First is the relationship. And what's going to come next? And I think that's what our world has flipped upside down and sometimes separated, is that they sometimes see love as sex and sex as love, or there's some places where sex is just a pleasure thing. You have a glass of wine, you have a back rub, you have a juicy steak, you know, something that gives you great pleasure. Well, that's all sex is and it doesn't matter.
Mm.
But that's not the way God meant it and what God says about it. I'm going to put you on the spot for a moment, Cecilia.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, yeah. And then I'll put myself on the spot, too. But can you think of somebody, obviously, since you're a female, somebody of the male persuasion, who, as soon as you were in the room with them, as soon as you started talking with them, it's like sparks started to fly. There's excitement and stimulation. And there was a kind of a joy and you almost wanted to be with them and on and on and on. Can you think of somebody?
Well, yeah. I'm thinking of someone named Ben from college.
Okay. Did you ever go on a date with him?
No.
Oh, perfect. Perfect, perfect, perfect.
I'm glad you're happy.
Well, sorry about that. You're bringing up, and I can think of several ladies that I've had conversations with, and it's like an instant connection, a fire across the of the room, a stimulation. That's called a. We as human beings are sexual people, and this is part of our sexuality that is built in all of us. This is how God made us. That there is an attraction, a stimulation, an excitement when you're with somebody, and it just sparks fly. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Except I think the sparks were flying only in one direction in my case.
Oh, well, that is the problem. Yeah, okay. Well, now let's go on.
Okay.
If there were sparks flying in both directions, sometimes you do the next step of a date, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And with that next step, if dating goes well and the sparks keep on flying, then you find them in the tree. K-I-S-S-I-N-G, right?
Right.
Okay. So there's that next step of from that stimulation of talk and intellect, moving now to a physical connection.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's that, then comes with the song, love.
Right.
Is the emotional and the deep desire to commit your life to that person. You will that you will always do something to help them. And then that flows into the marriage. But not, you don't marry everybody.
No, of course not.
And you don't kiss everybody.
No.
And as you had mentioned, there was no sparks flying the other way for Ben.
No, there
from
wasn't.
Him to you. This is the challenge that we sometimes muddle with who we are as human beings and our sexuality. That we can have an absolute stimulating, exciting conversation with somebody, and it triggers something within our brains, and it immediately goes, hey, you know, I like this person, and if they like you, you immediately don't have to, but many times people think, I want to be with you. And if you want to be with you and hold a hand, well, then you think of the kissing. And what does that do? That stimulates more and more and more. And that's where these songs, like the one we started with, enter in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happens sometimes is it's the reverse. Sometimes there is that stimulation, the physical stimulation. And I know of one case with myself that physically, boy, she was just knocked out. There's something about her, even though I'm blind, that just attracted me to her.
The voice
the sometimes.
The presence.
Yeah.
The cologne or in your case, perfume.
Mm-hmm.
The tone of voice.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in college, and she was on the other side of the room, and I just, I gotta meet her, I gotta talk to her.
Ugh.
And as soon as I did and started talking one-on-one, ugh, there was nothing.
Mm.
But what sometimes happens is that physical attraction spurs, and if that other person was only looking into the physical attraction, boom, what happens? The world says, go to bed.
Sounds like a romance novel.
Yeah, because they move it to the next progression, to the next step of the physical intimacy. See, we've got many levels of sexuality going on here. Some of it is fine, some of it is not, to share with other people.
The Bible says that sex is supposed to be between married people only. Let me read from Genesis chapter 2, verses 24 and 25.
Okay.
For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. Do you really want me to read this next part?
Please do.
The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame.
Yeah, that's crucially important. Because, sorry, if there's kids, maybe you want to turn it off. When one has sex, they're naked.
Yes.
When it is in the right situation, in marriage, there's no shame. When it is outside of marriage, there does become shame. And that's the whole thing. And nakedness doesn't just go with the physical. It is also, you lay your soul bare to this person, and it is an extremely vulnerable situation. That's why rape is so terrible, is because it exposes the vulnerabilities of the soul of two people. And that nakedness brings great shame. When, however, it is done in love, and this is really why sex is for the marriage. It's meant to be a gift given to one another, an expression of saying, you're special to me, in a very special way, that it is safe and secure. But when it's done beyond that, it's only for pleasure. And if it's only for pleasure, well, then it ranks that whole act and the relationship and life down to us being little mice scurrying around on the floor. And God didn't make us that way. He made us something special. He made us to be in relationships, relationships with people that we can trust and depend. I mean, little mice scurrying around don't really have a trust relationship that I'm aware of, at least the ones I've talked to lately don't have it anyway. But the whole point of the marriage, and this moves into what is marriage, is it's more than just a friendship. I mean, Cecilia and you and I, we're good friends.
Of course.
And I have other friends who are ladies, and I have friends who are men. But marriage, and I am married to Deb, mm-hmm. Is a deeper type of friendship and trust than any of those other things. And that's why this most vulnerable spot of intimacy is kept for that. It's not for my pleasure or her pleasure, but for one another to say, you're special. And even in this most vulnerable part of life, I'll expose myself to you out of love because you'll hold me safe. That's what God meant sex to be. That's what he meant it to be. Between breaks, you mentioned, Cecilia, that you used to read a lot of romance novels.
I did.
But you don't like them anymore?
For the most part, no.
Why? What changed?
All I see in most romance novels is a physical attraction between the man and the woman.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they don't even like each other.
Mm.
But it's all about how they feel physically, like we were talking about in the last segment,
mm-hmm.
The looks and such, mm-hmm. and then they end up in bed together. It's almost a, hello, I'm physically attracted to you, I'm going to bed with you, what's your name?
There are songs about that, too. Didn't even know her name. Yeah, and that's part of what this commandment is talking about. Is that sex is not about that. It's not about our pleasure.
For instance, I have to ask you.
Uh-huh.
Before you and Deb were married,
yeah.
Did you know what her favorite color was?
Yeah.
Did you know what her favorite food was?
Yeah.
Did you know
Baked
what...
Baked beans and potato chips, by the way, and still is. She loves that.
Okay. Did you know what her hopes and dreams were?
Sure did.
That's the total difference between a romance novel and real marriage, I think.
And that's really where our world has moved it to, is that sex is equivalent to love, which is equivalent to whatever. And this commandment is talking about a relationship. And that's why it says, don't commit adultery. Don't break the relationship. That once you have the relationship, do everything you can and possibly in order to keep the relationship together and good. That's really what this commandment...
To support it, almost like a flower.
Yeah.
A beautiful flower. Yeah. You can't... Well, some flowers you can just plant, but from what Deb has told me, there are some flowers that you have to tend.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
And you have to water them and feed them, fertilize them,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and sometimes even cut them back.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
to keep them growing.
And that's the way it should be. And do everything you can to make sure this relationship that you have, which you call marriage, grows and flourishes. And that's what was meant at the end, love and honor each other. You do that by doing everything you can to do everything possible to help this other person. I've only heard a few people say it correctly. In marriage, is it 50-50, 60-40, 70-80? What is it?
You've always told me it's 100-0. Zero.
Yep. I give 100% and expect zero back. That's the relationship. And if you work constantly at the relationship, then that's really what God is saying. Don't break the relationship. Do everything you can. Keep it together.
But sometimes marriage doesn't flourish and grow.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, in the United States, at least 50% of marriages die.
That's right, and in divorce.
So, is divorce okay?
Well, God's word, and actually Jesus even says, Moses gave you the ability to write your certificate of divorce because you are sinners. Meaning this, that God knows because we live in a sinful world, sometimes that's the only way you can live. And the Bible does point out there are three really reasons for divorce. Abuse, abandonment, or adultery. If you're being abused in the relationship, and I mean physically, beaten up, battered, and bruised, it'll be the death of you.
What about emotional?
Come back to that in a moment.
Okay.
Abandonment. Sometimes the other person just leaves, and so, there's nowhere to be found. Legally, a divorce is done in order so you can move on, and and many times that is financially as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then adultery. If the other person has been unfaithful, sometimes there is no repair to the relationship, and it has to end in divorce because it is a relationship of trust. And when the trust is broken, we try everything to bring it back together, but sometimes it's just impossible. The emotional abuse. That's a difficult one, and I'm not about to say yes or no on that. I think that one is something that needs to be worked with a counselor or a pastor. Sometimes it will be yes. Sometimes it will be no.
It's a case-by-case basis.
Kinda.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So God does say sometimes it has to be, but it's not what he wants or desires. I think we've covered everything, haven't we?
No, we haven't.
We're missing something? What?
What about me? I mean, I have sexual desires too.
Okay.
Just because I'm single, I wish that those were turned off completely, mm-hmm. but they're not.
Okay. Anything else we're missing?
Well, yeah. There were quite a few people in the Old Testament, I can give examples, who had more than one wife.
Oh, geez, that.
Quite a few wives, in fact.
Give me one example.
Solomon.
Okay, how'd that turn out for him?
His wives contaminated his beliefs.
Uh-huh.
He was the wisest man that ever lived.
And what did that happen, all these wives do? Brought him down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Give me another example.
David.
Okay, how'd that turn out for him? How was his family life?
Well, he was a great king, but not all that great of a father.
Uh-huh, and if you look at the wives, oh my gosh, and the kids, oh my gosh. Give me another example.
Jacob had two wives at least.
Yeah.
Well, not to mention the handmaids.
How'd that turn out for him?
He actually turned out pretty well.
Well, I wouldn't be so quick to say that. Did the wives like each other?
I don't think so, and two of them were sisters.
All. Oh, Rachel and Leah were fighting each other, even though they were sisters.
Well, it was because David loved one and didn't love the other one.
Jacob, not David. Yeah.
Excuse me, Jacob.
And that's the point. If you have multiple wives and multiple things, there's going to be jealousy. It's not going to turn out good. So these examples are there really to say, hey, you know, you really shouldn't do it this way. It really is best in one spouse. Otherwise, you run into a mess of problems. For example, blah, 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 blah.
You are avoiding my first question.
Well, no, not really. What was your first question?
Or maybe you're uncomfortable talking about this?
Well, I'm not a shy person, and I don't mind talking about sexual things because it is something that it's a gift of God and how it should be used.
Yeah, but...
And for example, we haven't said, is it okay to live with somebody before marriage and have sexual relations? The answer is no. No, in case we weren't clear earlier, sex is for marriage and only in marriage. Living together is not a good thing. That's like... trying it out to see if it works? Well, no, the body parts work fine. And this really kind of connects with your question.
Okay.
We as people have physical urges and drives all over the place, don't we?
Yes, we do.
For eating, for touch, hearing, smelling, and sex fits into that as well. We as people... Who's going to control? Are we controlling them, or are those desires controlling us? That's really what it comes down to. That's the problem. Sin has broken that usually our drives and urges control us rather than we control them. And so as a single person, one must be in control of themselves and those desires. Not that the desires are wrong. What are you going to do with them? And again, on that very first level, it's great engagement back and forth with people. There's that attraction. But do you take it to the next step that, ooh, I've got a hug, I got a kiss, I got a touch, or whatever? That's where the sin enters in.
So you're saying that for those of us who are single, too bad, so sad, sorry.
I'm not saying too bad, so sad. By saying that, you're almost making it say like, I'm now taking away the most best gift of all in the whole wide world. You know, to a 6-year-old, if I told them, no, you can't have an ice cream cone, they'd go, and they'd think it's the best gift in the whole wide world. Well, when you're 26, if you say no sex before marriage, what, now that's it? I mean, let's put it in perspective to life. Life is more than just sex.
Well, of course.
Well, then what's so wrong about not having it? Life is about knowing Jesus, knowing our God, who lifts us above circumstances and who gives us the promise of eternal life. Life can be about so many more things in which He's involved with us. And it can be great relationships with other people, but they don't have to dribble down and go down to the base level all the time. There are a lot of things in this commandment that we certainly haven't covered, and if there's anything in particular that connects with you that you're curious about, please write us.
You can write us at info.
I-N-F-O.
At not-alone.
N-O-T-A-L-O-N-E.
Dot N-E-T.
That's N-E-T. Net. And remember,
we are not alone.
Do come back again to room 4216.
Credits. Interlude musicians Terry Nord and Robert Vaughn, and Bill Medley and Jennifer Warrens. I've Had the Time of My Life. Copyright 1989.